Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in the 27th Psalm. Psalms 27. I'm going to read the first four verses. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And I can read that and say amen. I like that, I do. But I'm going to spend this time in verse 1 of this psalm. My title for Paul when he gets this is, The Lord is my salvation. Or, the Lord is my salvation. Or, the Lord is my salvation. Or, the Lord is my salvation. You can accent any word you want on there. But don't ever leave out the Lord. Okay. As by way of introduction, I got two absolute rules for you. I know people say, and to some extent, in a natural sense, it's true. There's an exception to every rule. Well, I got two rules for you that have absolutely no exception. None. Not one exception. The first rule is this. Every single sin, no matter how big, no matter how small, shall receive its just punishment.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. And the wages of sin is death. Yeah. Every sin is going to receive its just punishment, and there are no exceptions to that. Not a one. Now, the second absolute rule is this. No sinner for whom Christ died as substitute and surety will ever suffer for any sin at God's hand.
Right.
Not one. Not one. And the reason for both of those rules being absolute is this. God's justice is absolute. Christ took in his own body on the tree the sins of his people. They were punished, every single one of them. And God will not require that at our hands.
Amen.
Now, that's not saying you won't suffer your own consequences for your sin.
Right.
This is just saying that there is no condemnation now to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's all I'm saying. And that is absolute also. No exceptions. Neither one. I read that and I just thought I'd share it with you. I like that. Well, I remember in school, you know, you get your grammar lessons and your spelling. I before E except after C. And then it's the other way around. Unless it's a weird word, because weird is spelled E-I. I don't know why that doesn't fall in there. There are exceptions to things.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this. There's no exception to God's justice either way.
Right.
either way. I like that. I do. But here we have a Psalm of David, Psalm 27. And he starts with this: "The Lord is my light." Oh, I like that. I like that. Let me be more specific, though, because I'm going to say it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ is my light. This is of whom David is writing here. He is writing of Jesus Christ. We say it, but I don't think a lot of people get it, you know. People in the Old Testament were looking for the Messiah to come.
Right.
They were looking for Jesus Christ.
Right, man, that's right.
We know who the Messiah is now. He didn't have a name, but he did have this name, the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He's my light. He is the light of men. He shines in darkness. Oh, I like that. And he also shines in the day. John chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says this: "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is talking about the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word that is talking about Jesus Christ. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness didn't get it. The Lord Jesus Christ shines all the time. I like saying that. You understand? Even better, I like knowing that. Whether I see him or not, he's shining. Whether you see him or not, he's shining. He's the light. He's not the light bulb that we can turn on and off with a switch. He's the light. And he shines in the darkness, and he shines in the day. He shines in the night, he shines in the dark morning. He shines all the time. Oh, I like that. There's never a time when the light doesn't shine, because he is the light and he always shines. And the darkness does not comprehend him. Darkness doesn't comprehend him in the day or in the night or in the dark of the morning. You understand? If you're in darkness, you're in darkness. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to those, what, that are lost.
Amen.
Whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. Why? So they won't see the light.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But let me jump over just a couple of chapters here to John chapter 3 and read this. The darkness comprehended it not, right? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and here's why: the darkness doesn't comprehend it, and men love darkness.
Yeah.
Men love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
Instead of the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. I like that. Not all men hate the light, but the darkness does.
Mm-hmm.
Men love darkness, but not all men.
Not all.
Not all. Oh. And the reason isn't the men, the reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get into that a little bit later. So let me be as specific as David is here in Psalms 27, verse 1. I want to tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ is my light.
Yeah.
And I'd like for him to be your light.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not everybody's light.
No.
They don't see him. They don't want to see him. Matter of fact, if they get a glimpse of him, they hate him.
Yeah.
They'll hate him. What? They hated him without a cause. I know people don't want to believe. Nobody hates Jesus. Yes, they do. The Jesus of this book.
Amen.
They may not hate their own Jesus. They may not hate the one they believe, the one they preach, the one that they've heard their whole lives. I've heard this my whole life. Are you saying that everybody I know who goes there and listens to this false Jesus is lost? I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. I was listening to a false Christ at one time. Now, I heard it in my head a little differently than the man who spoke it. Because he was using the word Jesus, and I was thinking the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was thinking Savior Jesus. You understand? I don't need to go into that. I don't have time. John chapter 8 and verse 12. I'll just read this to you. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Who's the light of life? He is. He is. Oh my. Because here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is both. He's the one by whom I see and you see. And he's the one we are to see. I like it. He's the source of the light, and he's the light we're supposed to be looking at. Ah. What? Those who know the Lord of light, they follow him. They'll not walk in darkness. I like that. I do. David says, like he said, the Lord is my light. And that wasn't good enough. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is my salvation. I wish I could say this better or clearer or something, but I have to say it. Salvation is a person. Salvation is not a creed. Salvation is not a denomination. Salvation is not a church. Salvation is not a program. Salvation is a person. Person. I'm still drawn back to that old fellow Simeon when Jesus Christ was brought as an infant. And he said, let me have it. And he held him in his hands. He's just a little fella. But he looked to God and said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. Now, I've seen thy salvation. He was looking at an infant. He had an infant in his hands. No, he had the salvation of God's people in his hands, personally. Ah, that's just, in that old man, he knew it. He knew it. He was waiting on it. He was waiting on him, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for salvation. And there he is. The Lord Jesus Christ is my salvation. He himself. Now I know this is a fine point, and I don't want to denigrate anything true. But I think it's a very important point. You understand? The work of Jesus Christ, where he performed everything the Father gave him to do. He performed his Father's will. Kept the law perfectly. And that is glorious. Because Jesus Christ loved the Lord God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his strength. All the time. All the time. But that's not my salvation.
Right.
I mean, that's glorious. And it's wonderful, true doctrine. But that's not my salvation. That's not my salvation. The perfection of the Son of God. I mean, he loved his neighbor as himself all the time. I'm lucky if I can do it once a week, a year, or whatever, or once a neighbor. Oh, my. I mean, I've learned all kinds of doctrine from my humble beginnings as a former Catholic. I was about as ignorant about the truth as you can get. I've learned even sound doctrine. Sovereignty election, predestination, preservation of the saints, the hard stuff. Limited atonement. Particular redemption, if you will. And his gracious, wonderful, true doctrine is not my salvation. Sound doctrine is good, and it is to be learned. But I'll tell you a secret that some people don't know. Doctrine doesn't save you. Amen. Christ saves. Yeah. You understand what am I saying here? Jesus Christ did not say, come unto my works. He didn't say, come to my words. Although we should hear him. We should hear his word. Get this. And this hit me after I already typed all this up. The gospel message is not to come to the gospel. The gospel message is to come to Christ. It's not to come to the church. It's not to come to the preacher. It's not to come to the denomination. It's not to come... watching them fellas this morning, it's not to come to the baptismal pool. No, no, the gospel message is to come to Christ. Amen. What did Jesus Christ said? Let's see, Matthew 11. That's what I got written down here, and I hope I wrote it down correctly. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Oh, yes. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Yeah. Now that's the revealing part and the hiding. That's what people don't want to say. Oh, Jesus wants everybody. No, I thank thee, Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. For so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then he says these words. What? Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like that. Understand? Yes, we are to come, but come to him. Come to him. You don't come to me, you don't come to Walter, you don't come to Paul, you don't come to any man. Come to Christ. Amen. That's what he said. That's the gospel message there. Yeah. Come unto me. Yeah. Come unto me. Yes, come unto me. He is all my salvation. Yeah. He is. Come unto the one who performed the Father's will. Come unto the one who perfectly kept the law. Come unto Christ, the sovereign, electing, predestinating, the God of all grace. Come unto him. Come unto him. You understand? Come unto the true, holy one who did die and died to death as a malefactor. I like that word. He died the death of a cursed man.
Yeah.
Why? Because he took our curse in his body on the tree. He became a curse for us. He became our perfect substitute. Come unto the Holy One. Come unto the one who took in his body all the sins of every single person the Father gave to him. Come unto him who is the light and who shines night and day. Come unto him who is the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him.
Amen.
Come unto him. come unto him. He is salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Come unto him. And he will give you rest. Because you're not going to come unless you're weary and heavy laden. You're not going to come unless you're burdened. You're not going to come to his rest until you know you need a rest. Unless you know there's nothing you can do to be acceptable to God. And you're coming to him because he is acceptable to God. Oh my. Oh, learn of him, learn from him, and learn him. He is my light. Follow him. Follow him. Come to him and follow him. If you continue not, if you continue, you're my disciples indeed. Follow him. Follow him. Follow the light. You will not walk in darkness. And it's not because I'm going to give you any light. It's because he is. It's because he is. The salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And salvation is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's a person. Our salvation is a person. And he is all of your salvation. I like that. I like that. David asked this question, whom shall I fear? The Lord's my light and the Lord's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, here's the answer. No one and nothing. No one and nothing. Now, I'm not saying you won't fear, but that's who you should fear. No one and nothing. Because no one and nothing can ever take the Lord Jesus Christ away from you. Never happen. He said, I will never leave you, nor never forsake you. You understand? Here's a great thing about this, okay? Whom shall I fear? I don't even have to fear me. You understand where I'm coming from here? Walter, I can't send away his day of grace. There's a lot of people think you can't. Oh, you'll send away your day of grace. No. He's the God of all grace. If he's going to be gracious to you, he's going to be gracious to you. And he will continue to be gracious to you. Oh, I like that. I don't have to fear me. You know why? Because the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. It's not me. You understand? Not in life, not in death. I don't have to fear anyone. And right now, at this present moment, standing here before you, I still have no strength. But bless God, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. You know you're ungodly. You're going to know a little bit of your ungodliness in this weariness and labor when you come to him. He's our strength. We're still without strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. No one. Not those that kill the body. Fear him that can cast body and soul into hell. But don't fear anyone else. You understand? And I thought about, right, I didn't know whether I wanted to write this down and let this go out all over the world wide web. But here's the thing. I don't fear Satan. Now, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to be around him. But I don't fear him. Because I'll tell you this, I know Satan's master. And he's my master too. You understand? I'm not trying to brag. No, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to hang around him. I don't want to do anything, have anything to do with Satan. But I don't live in fear of him. I'd much rather talk with the God of my salvation. What? My Redeemer from all sin. moved by his divine compassion. Oh my. Whom shall I fear? Verse 4 says this, though, and I love this part too. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? Isn't that great? You understand, if God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is your light and your salvation, you're going to want to dwell in his house.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
You're not going to want to dwell in yours anymore.
Yeah.
You've had enough of yours. You want to be in his.
Yeah.
I like that. I do. And that's it. That I may dwell, live there. In the house of the Lord. Where? With the family of God.
Amen.
With the family of God. Want to gather together. And here it is. All the days of my life. You know what that means? Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. This is where I want to be right now. In the house of the Lord. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about in the family of God. You know. We are members of his body. Now, members in particular, too. He knows each individual member of his body. He puts it exactly where he wants it. And he is our head. Oh, all the days of my life. Now, while I'm living and breathing, I desire to live in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. In the hereafter, I desire to live in the house of the Lord. What? To behold the beauty of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, to behold his beauty. To see the beauty of the light. To see the beauty of my salvation. He is my salvation. To see the glory of his light. To learn. What? And to inquire in his temple.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh my. You will never learn of the Lord Jesus Christ from this world.
Right.
We have his word right here. And this is the only authority we have of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.